Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As we move around London, we are surrounded by people taking photographs, whether it's tourists posing in front of landmarks, urban explorers popping up from manholes having taken pictures of the sewers, selfies at Madame Tussauds, chroniclers of graffiti or architecture or of people eating on the tube. It's going on all the time, everywhere. My guest today is somebody attempting to make sense of the bigger picture of photography in London, even if it is a picture that comes in instalments. It's Saturday the 17th of January 2015. I'm N. Quentin Wolfe and this is Londonist Out Loud.
Hey baby, let me take you down. So we'll play some strange sights and sounds you ain't never seen the like before. Just a stone's throw from your front door.
Now, winter is definitely upon us. Arriving at today's interview, I was fair blown off course by a wind that had whipped up in between the warehouses here in East London. We're in Hackney Wick, and we're in a thriving hub by the looks of it. It's called Crate, and it is a busy artist's cafe. Lots of people here, and the low leather couches that you'd expect from this part of town. And on one of those with me is Shay Bankali, and he is the curator of Next Level Projects, the editor of Next Level magazine, and he's looking dapper in a dangerously wide-brimmed hat for this weather, I would say.
Yes, welcome. Thank you for having me today. And it's good to obviously be here within the whirlwinds of East London.
We had the obvious discussion which part of town you're from. You're from just down the road in near Victoria Park. It's difficult to get away in a place like this from the regeneration that's going on all around us. And it's going so much faster than you can imagine. The Olympic Park having just opened up, and an evening walk down there is quite a pleasure, I'm sure you've experienced. Victoria Park certainly benefited from 2012 and all that jazz. What have you seen in the time that you've been here?
Well, in time I've been here, it's to say I've been here all my life. I'm one of the probably original East Londoners. I basically moved to East London at the age of 7 from South London and grew up around the area of Victoria Park. And so I've seen this development and change over time. And originally when I was young, it was something to probably escape from. But now, kind of sort of travelling around the world and living in New York and LA and also Australia, you just gravitate back to your original roots. And I came back to East London. Even then, it was still in its infancy. And it's great to see how the development has changed. Obviously, there are negative elements to it, but generally, the positives are wonderful for the artists that have gravitated here.
Do you ever find it difficult then to recognise, it's too simplistic probably, but to really feel those roots still in place with so much change of foot?
The roots are kind of fractionous in a sense, because probably going to a very local popular school here, you kind of know everyone around, but now I'm probably one of 3 or 4 people that I still know that live locally. So The geography has changed, you know, in terms of demographic. But nonetheless, it's an interesting kind of generation that's gravitated here. Obviously, there's a large kind of European pool of interest in not just artists, but just, you know, interesting community that's kind of sort of seen or pinpointed East London as a place not only for its dynamic artists, but as a community to live within.
A lot of media going on, and I reckon more urban photographers and film crews per square metre than anywhere else in the country. So that's quite a happy coincidence then, is it, that you you happen to be based here and you happen to go into arts and arts-related stuff, and then this great artistic influx happened?
Yeah, if I had that crystal ball and I could see into the future, I probably would have stayed put and not gone all the way around the world to come back to the same point. But yeah, no, it's great, I have to admit, to see the development, because for my youth, arts were not really promoted. So I, at the time, was part of the minority of kind of being in a situation where I had to fight for my ideals of what I really wanted to have as a career. And therefore, in a sense, it's almost validated myself to see how East London has developed into a cultural hub.
There was some interesting stuff lurking under the surface of what you just said there. We're talking about fighting for the ideals. What do you have in mind?
Well, there's, you know, kind of looking for being obviously creative, being creating activity in a location at that particular time. Cultural endeavours were not particularly cherished, may I say. And
how were they received?
Well, it was a difficult time back in the early days of, well, sort of in the 80s, 90s in East London. You know, there were a lot of kind of sort of social issues, lots of housing issues, lots of kind of sort of cultural issues as well. So you kind of overcome all of those. And at the time, you know, being kind of sort of first generation of black people who have moved to the UK, you fit within a community. And sometimes it jars, other times there's harmony and it works completely well. And so you kind of develop from that, and you kind of sort of manifest the different ideas that you can produce from your own upbringing and also what you're introduced to. So I guess that's where the kind of sort of, I don't know, Freudian slip of fighting kind of came into it. But for me, it's been more of a experience and a development. You know, I probably wouldn't know. I wouldn't want to change that at all, because it shaped who I am today, probably made me quite feisty when I want to stick to my guns. I find it a really kind of interesting, vibrant place now for me, because I was there at the outset. So for me, you know, there's a strong passion and grounded roots that keeps me here on the east side.
On the east, although the north east side, technically. We shouldn't go too much further without saying something about the work itself, and Next Level being part of that, several different iterations of Next Level. How would you introduce someone who is unfamiliar, as our listener may or may not be? It's going to be difficult, though, because we're dealing with photography in particular here. How would you go about introducing somebody who hasn't seen it and isn't currently looking at it to the work you're involved with?
Well, to start off with Next Level magazine, it kind of really came around as an art project idea. There wasn't any kind of sort of business acumen, or we was looking at some kind of gap in the market. It was really just a project.
Blind luck.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, it was, you know, there's a lot of naivety that was attached to it as well. I mean, just like all probably early projects, it's a labour of love, as opposed to some kind of economic or structure that you're looking to make. So launched back in 2002 and looking to produce a publication that looked at photography as contemporary art, as opposed to photography within its own medium. Felt it was kind of sort of interesting to see how photography is used within the visual arts forum. It can be seen in a sense at times as a kind of sort of poor relation to a lot of the paintings, a lot of the sculpture, and it has a wide berth as well, so to identify as a particular niche I felt was quite important. And so we produced one edition, and the idea was just to produce the single edition, and it was a huge success, and sold out of that edition. And so we followed up with a second edition and we had the same reaction. So then, you know, it wasn't until the third or fourth edition we kind of thought, well, you know, what do we actually have in our hands, and how can we actually structure this to possibly keep it ongoing and to make it self-sufficient?
So this idea of the next level then, you're lifting, as you said, beyond it merely being photography, merely in inverted commas, and it being photography within art. Could you give an example or two of that to somebody who perhaps doesn't deal in visual media?
Right, yes, I would probably define...
Can I just, before you do that, I just want to withdraw that stupid comment. Everybody deals in visual media all the time. That's a really stupid thing of me to say.
I would probably define our publication as I said, kind of sort of photography as contemporary art. So there are the discussions where... You know, you have photographers, you have photo artists, and you have artists that use the medium of photography. I wouldn't say we kind of sort of split hairs in those distinctions, but we look at the art form of photography and how it's used within the medium of the visual arts. So in a sense, it can be the traditional photography aspect where an artist is using photography, but it could be photography, could be used within the concept or within the body of the work of creating an object, an art object in that respect. And I see it kind of sort of differs from fashion photography or documentary photography, because it's, you know, that, you know, there is an element of conceptual ideology behind it and the methodology that's attached to it, as opposed to creating an idea to a brief or to a commercial product.
Formula of some kind.
Exactly.
And how important within that is novelty and innovation, and how much of it is about working with perhaps a tradition that's been established and furthering that in some way?
I think it's extremely important the way photography's evolved, especially over the last... decade or even further, the last 15, 20 years or so, with the advent of the digital age, that has kind of opened the doors to looking at photography in many different facets. Because currently today, the majority of people will look at images as pixels on a screen, as opposed to silver halides and looking at printed images. That's just the nature of where we are and how we view things. But also what that's opened up is the possibilities of looking back at some of the traditional techniques, such as the heliograph, such as the sinograph, etc., and seeing how we can use those physical techniques to produce new ways of working with photography and using a lot of the technologies that we have today and combining the two and seeing what new experimental ideas that can be produced. And I think it's key to say it's experimental. You know, it's experimental times and it's fascinating to see what young artists are producing at the current climate.
One of the problems that's always struck me with photography, and yet as soon as I think of it, it's also, and fairly recently, the problem with other art forms, is that the bar to entry is extremely low and getting lower every day. The technology that one would require to take professional grade photographs used to be the preserve of a small and well-off group of people, and now everybody's got it as a matter of course as part of their mobile phone package or whatever it might be. Ditto the ability to publish in my arena. So you talked about it being the poor cousin. Is that part of it? Is part of the problem that there's such an overabundance of people taking snaps?
In relation to the arts, probably yes, because as I said before, it's such a widely used medium. It spans many different kind of genres, and you know, it's used in a commercial aspect, it's used in a professional aspect, it's used in a social aspect. It, you know, like you said before, everyone now has a camera. Everyone, you know, manages images now, and it's a very diluted medium. So therefore, before, where you know you really had to get your hands dirty in the analog period, where cameras were expensive, film was expensive. You had to be in a dark room, which there again is a space in itself. So there were lots of kind of aggregates that you would apply to the whole aspect of photography. Now, with the digital age, it's instant. and you can apply the tools that were professionally taught many years ago. I wouldn't say easily, but within a manageable situation. It does have that element of being seen as a trait that everyone can possibly become part of, and that's the beauty of it as well, in the same aspect that everyone can take that decisive moment or create a conceptual image of their own making,
which is great, isn't it? Because it's leveling and it means everybody's got a bit of a shout and it's not an elitist thing. But does that mean then that you've found yourself having to work a little bit harder to, I guess, kind of prove your credentials, to prove that you know what you're about?
Exactly. That probably is the I think you mentioned earlier on that it's probably easier being within the photographic medium, but then to be in a position to be able to have your work noticed, then you are in a very cloudy scenario of many other artists or many other photographers in that respect, of trying to find or climb that same ground. So it's a common situation for all budding artists in that respect, or photo artists, to, you know, how do they promote their work, how do they show their work, you know, how do they get to the plateau that they, you know, that they've dreamed of as a student.
Anyone who's listening and hoping to succeed in this arena is screaming that I should ask you the answer to the questions that you've just posed. And of course, as somebody curating this kind of work, you'll have seen different approaches to gaining notoriety or recognition. What sort of ideas have you seen being put into practice?
Well, there's many ideas. I'd probably say with one of the advantages of obviously being editor of Next Level magazine is that the editions are geographically based. What I mean by that is that we travel all around to cities around the world, that we identify photographic communities and photographic scenes, where we explore to see how they function, to say how the local government probably supports or not supports in terms of regeneration aspects. We look at the local universities to see the kind of doctrines that they have in place and the ideologies, and trying to almost, how do they bridge that gap from student to artist.
We also, which is a chasm, really, isn't it?
Exactly. We look at local institutions. Do they actually showcase or exhibit local artists as opposed to housing blockbuster exhibitions? We look at commercial galleries. Do they support the local artists as well? How do they support the local artists? And, you know, we kind of peel back the layers of various art scenes from cities around the world and form a picture of how it functions, how it breathes, and how it assists and supports and sustains the artist.
Well, as a London-focused podcast, you know what my next question is going to be, of course. What are the features that identify London's photographic scene?
You know, that's a good question, because I'm just about in the process of actually producing, not so much a London edition, because London is so varied and wide, you couldn't really congest the whole of London in one publication and be kind of sincere to it. So, therefore, I've identified where I live, Hackney, and I'm looking to produce a Hackney edition of our publication that should be released in the next year or so, and that will really look at the different mechanisms and methodologies within Hackney of why it is such a vibrant location for artists. We will look at what champions the actual area, but also critique what areas need to probably be looked at and examined. In sort of precursor to the actual publication in itself, it always has had this vibrant entity to it. Maybe not so much Hackney, but, you know, I started off very much in Islington around Roseby Avenue, where that was a vibrant area of photographers, and then gradually shifted eastward, shifted to Ode Street, and we I had a studio there working and based from there, and there again moved to Bethnal Green, and then shifted back up again to Brick Lane, and now found my working base in in Victoria Park. But in saying that, I've always lived in Hackney for a number of years. So it's the gravitas of the pool of what happens around here, and I think it's always has been the hub of the visual arts scene in London.
Given the hotspots that you've just mentioned, it sounds as though the Victoria Park move is sort of retiring to the countryside.
it's probably the most footage of green space I've ever lived close by. For an urban young lad, I must admit, possibly living so close to Victoria Park could be quite detrimental to my health, perhaps.
Enjoying the fountain spray on the boating lake and so forth. We're going to take a quick break and a word from our sponsor, and we will be back. And among the things we're going to be talking about is, I hope, cliche.
Londonist Out Loud is sponsored by Audible. To claim your free audiobook from a range of 60,000 titles, try the Audible service on 30-day free trial. Audiobooks can be saved as MP3s and played on your compatible phone, tablet, or desktop, or burned to CD, and they're yours to keep. For your free audiobook, go to www.audible.co.uk/Londonist and click through.
You're listening to Londonist Out Loud. I'm N. Quentin Wolfe, and with me at the Crate Cafe in Hackney Wick, Shay Bankali, who is all about the next level, multiple next levels. We haven't really talked about the projects yet, actually. We've talked a little bit about publication. Perhaps we could say something about the next level projects.
Yes, the next level project is a independent project space that exhibits a cross-section of local and international artists. Mainly, we identify a number of projects that we have witnessed locally during our research trip to Next Level magazine, and we look to be a platform to showcase artists from different regions to our UK, well, our London and UK audience.
I'm liking the sound of these research trips, by the way. It's just struck me that you're onto a good number here.
I wouldn't be complaining at this particular point of my life.
Was this a built-in part of your plan? Were you thinking, okay, I'm enjoying the photographic side of things, but a little bit of travel would be nice?
Yeah, it wasn't a kind of default mechanism, but it's something I've ran with and probably won't let go.
You'll put up with it for the time being.
Oh, for sure. It's a hard life. No, it's something that obviously quite a lot of people see as a quite fortunate way of researching the visual arts. But in a sense, I find it extremely important because it's very different to cut and paste in information you find online as opposed to physical.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Physically being in space, physically seeing how artists work locally, physically trying to understand what kind of ideologies that they're working on. Is the work more aesthetically based? Are there kind of sort of different ideologies that are attached? Is it more political? Is it more collective work processes? So it's interesting to see this around the world, and And, you know, obviously geographical and political and social climates obviously have an influence on the ideas of the artists that live there locally. So it's really interesting to be able to not only take in a lot of that way of working, but also being able to discuss my ideas and a lot of the experiences that I have had throughout my life, actually being on the ground to see how it functions, seeing how various arts communities thrive, how they first developed, were there any kind of sort of political points or such vibrant moments in their history that made a particular art scene explode. So that kind of information, I feel you can't find that kind of information online. So it gives me the added benefit of being in a location where I'm able to try and understand their methodologies, but also being in the position to share many of my ideas and to cross-pollinate in a sense and have a kind of cross-cultural experience with ways of working with various artists. But also what I do from that is bring a lot of the ideas, especially a lot of the innovative ideas of what I've seen from various cities around the world, and showcase them in next level project space.
So along the way here, you're becoming, and I'm conscious of not saying that you are yet, because your beard is not white enough for this, I think, but you're becoming a guru, a photographic guru, and all this information is sort of coming together in you. I wonder what other uses you might see for deploying that intelligence that's been collected.
There are many possible facets, I would probably say, I could extend my experience and my knowledge. I probably don't expand as much as I can, because I do like to feed the information out as opposed to blast it across a front cover, in a sense. But I think it's publications are one, such as Next Level, but also independent publications are ideas that I'm currently looking at. But in a sense, Next Level really embodies, the magazine really embodies a lot of this information. I mean, we have, for instance, a section of the publication we call 6 Degrees of Separation, which identifies all the different regions and pulls back all the important key individuals of each region. So it helps an artist, whoever currently lives there, or an artist who's currently interested in maybe moving or emigrating to that region. It gives them a head start to say, who are the key people I need to be in contact with? Where are the arts communities? Who do I talk to in various institutions? Down to where are the material stores, etc., etc., etc. So it becomes a kind of window to each city. I'm not saying it's an oracle, but it is a window to each region.
That's really fascinating, and I can't help wondering whether it's going to cause local political problems amongst the people. For example, I'm imagining that somebody might feel that they should have been listed there and wasn't, and could get quite het up about that. I mean, with what you're doing there comes, I guess, some serious degree of responsibility to, and there's no doubt that you're doing your research with great assiduity, but it must also be a weight upon your shoulders. How do you keep yourself in check and make sure that you're making the right choices there?
I think that's the complexity of producing such of a publication with integrity and strong intent. You hope to lay a kind of foundation, and I think that's what it is. I'm laying a foundation. I said before, it's not an oracle. I'm not looking to identify every single person from that region and give them a title. Ideally, I'm trying to identify the majority and the key individuals. But they're key individuals relating to photography as contemporary art. And some may have a greater influence than others. And also, I may identify some that will stand as a single person, as a whole, instead of identifying each single individual within perhaps a certain institution. In a sense, it's there to provide information, but it's there for also the reader to go out there and source their own information as well. And I think that's what's intriguing about the publication, is that it's a very in-depth research of the local region and the scope, but at the same time it leaves enough room for an individual to go out there and to discover the city for themselves as well.
So I can well imagine, in cases where you're applying a label to somebody and you're saying that in your view their work belongs to this particular strand of photography, I could imagine that some people might dispute your analysis of their worth, their role, the genre to which their work belongs. Have people come to you and said, look, mate, you've come over here, you've put a foot wrong here, you haven't quite got this right?
No, I mean, in fact, it's been the opposite. Because, in effect, it's almost someone from outside has not just parachuted in and left within a couple of days. It's someone that's actually embraced the local community, or the arts community, and stayed within the region for over a month. And so I've been embraced with every city that I've travelled to, even to the extent, say, for instance, when I produced the Helsinki edition, I was invited a few months later to become the curator for the European Capital of Culture for Finland. So it has further benefits as well. Everyone on the ground really sees the benefit of the publication and how it's a window internationally, because we distribute the publication to 36 countries around the world. So it has a huge audience, and therefore, whether you agree or disagree, it gives you a platform and it forms an audience, and the actual content of the work, therefore, has a wider importance than probably I may, or one of the writers or contributor may get a fact wrong during that period.
Having spoken to lots of people working in museums and archives and that kind of thing, it strikes me as well that what you're creating here is a very interesting, I'm dancing around the word snapshot, but a record of how things are at a particular time, that may prove very interesting as well for people maybe not too many years down the road to look back at and to chart. Presumably, though, as things change, the information that you've acquired needs updating. How do you go about handling that?
Yes, no, exactly. I think that's such a really interesting question, because the first edition that I produced, the city edition, was Glasgow. And the reason why I was drawn to Glasgow is the Turner Prize. There's always been a nomination from Glasgow. So that intrigued me, and I wanted to know why this one region has this number of constant or consistent nominations. So that took me to Glasgow. There was a major research that took place, and that was back in 2006. So obviously now, 2015, we're looking to perhaps revisit the region and update a lot of the information that we saw. But in a sense, what is so beautiful about the publication is that it's an historical tool. It's an historical publication that identifies a particular art scene in that moment. And it's a legacy, and I think in that respect, not all of our publications that we've previously produced, City Editions, will be revisited, but there will be a number that are. But nonetheless, I think what's really important is that it is identified and becomes a kind of cornerstone of a particular moment. And I think that's really exciting that you can look back at these editions and identify that.
I was fascinated by the idea of political photography that you brought up earlier on, given that you did so in the context of it being contemporary art as well. I'm not really sure what question to ask to get into that a little bit, but I'd love to get more of a flavour of what that is in your experience.
There are various artists that their work revolves around political content. But like there again, a major identification of this is looking at Brazil. For instance, when we travelled to Brazil to produce a Sao Paulo edition, Brazil, obviously, its economy is quite new. It was under military rule for so long. And so you see that reflecting in the artist's works that when I was there, I saw or witnessed a number of very striking political references to their work, and that elevates, and you see that from different regions from around the world, and that's why I find it's quite important to be in a position to see these artists in their own communities, in their own situation, as opposed to a number of artists that are seen as a global team of usual suspects, and it's almost they stand for the whole, and that's what I enjoy and I thrive on in terms of what we pull back from Next Level.
Well, I can certainly understand there how it could be satisfying, but I remember seeing a pair of pictures in a gallery, one by Braque and one by Picasso, and if you glanced at them you'd struggle to tell the difference, and yet each of the artists had arrived at a very similar image in completely different ways and was on a different trajectory, and so being able to separate and distinguish those and make sense of how they each got there was really fulfilling. What it's made me realise is when I nudged you towards a definition of the London photographic scene earlier, I think you resisted slightly. I think built into you must be the sort of senses and awarenesses to be able to say something about what London's signature feel might be at this point in time.
Well, that's a difficult question, I must admit. There isn't an exact signature to London because it's so diverse. And that's why it's quite difficult to identify cities such as perhaps New York, London, Paris to that extent. The actual matrix is not that obvious in terms of what's being produced. Cities we've researched, such as, I don't know, Toronto, Zurich, Helsinki, Pittsburgh, etc., etc., are more easier to identify because there's not that major influx of outside influence.
Without getting up myself as a Londoner, I think what we're talking about is the difference between a city and a super city, isn't it?
Yes, no, exactly. You know, a kind of sort of metropolis in a sense of, and London is, and that's why it's very difficult to pinpoint. And I said before, if I was producing a Next Level magazine, I couldn't and wouldn't do one entirely on London because it wouldn't result in a structure in that sense. Well, perhaps smaller parts of London will identify that, and but that doesn't take away anything away from the power and the strength of London. It actually adds to it, but what it does create, it creates a lot of different ideas, a lot of different art communities, as you see presently. You have many different art communities around London, and you know each one holds a band of artists which they support, nurture, and develop, and they're all looking at different variations. So it is very. I wouldn't want to commit myself in terms of saying how do you define a London photographer or a London artist.
That sounds one step closer to the wisdom of a guru. I want to ask you, coming up to the end of the show, I want to ask you about cliché. And I'm imagining from what you said that cliché might also be localised to some degree. As you go about selecting work that you consider to be especially noteworthy, that must mean that your selection process puts you into contact with work that seems familiar, that seems hackneyed, stuff you've seen before, people who think they're being very innovative but are in fact producing much the same thing once again. Could we poke our noses into that corner of photography?
Yes, you do find repetition in works. You do have similar crossovers within works, but at the same time, an artist that is noteworthy will know that himself of his work. He will know of his contemporaries. He should know of his peers that are producing similar works, and in a sense, that's how I look at when I'm curating exhibitions. And you know, you look at different themes or different social, political, or cultural issues, and you draw artists in that you want to see how they can perform or produce a dialogue and a conversation on that works or on the idea of the exhibition. You also look at innovative ways of producing that exhibition, artists that are trying to, because I think what's quite important here within exhibitions, you know, you don't necessarily always have to reinvent the wheel when you're producing an exhibition. It's great when you can produce something innovative, but then it's also of interest when you pick up poignant points that may not have been addressed, or you're looking at a different way of looking at a particular subject that does have repetition in various exhibitions. So I don't think that's a bad thing. Well, I think it's, you know, obviously if you look at recreating something just for the sake of its mimicking that original, then obviously there's question marks around that. But generally, I work with artists that have done their research, and I work with my research on the artist to make sure that they've produced a body of work that has integrity to themselves and to their ideas.
And part of that integrity seems to be, from what you're saying, that the artist has a responsibility. I don't think I should put it less strongly than that, to be informed about what else is going on the scene if they're going to be in the game at all. And if I've understood it correctly, Next Level is assisting with that responsibility.
No, exactly. There's a responsibility across the board, not just the artists, curators, directors of museums. There's they're cultural leaders of the vision of culture to an audience. So there's a responsibility across the board for all to, you know, produce exhibitions that I feel that are challenging, whether that's challenging in the aesthetic or whether that's challenging in the content. It has a way of having the audience think about their position in life and how they've experienced life, and using their experience to measure discussion with the work that's been exhibited.
And you've brought us very nicely to talking about an exhibition that is on at time of broadcast.
Yes, the Photo 50 exhibition at the London Art Fair, which I must admit I am honoured to have been asked to curate this exhibition. And I find it's really important as well to have a photographic space in a contemporary art fair. I think it draws the audience that perhaps are more ideally looking at paintings or sculptures or etc., and it opens them up to photography and how photography can be an important visual tool. And this particular exhibition, Against Nature, is a very small homage to the book itself by J.K. Heisman. But really, it's looking at photography from a very conceptual perspective, looking at what a number of innovative photographers are doing with the medium. I mean, I wouldn't probably say it's a revolt against the digital age, but it's definitely responding to the digital age of showing and working with material that is kind of really tactile in its sense, and quite vernacular material as well. So it's a very strong, conceptually based concept. It probably will shake a number of diehard photographers who are probably looking to see just the image in a frame. It's very much based on the object, as photography as object. So I've selected 9 photographers who base their work around this ideology and really have come up with some very interesting work, some that are still in the making. So it's going to be a very exclusive exhibition in that respect.
Where can we find out more about this?
There's the London Art Fair website that you'll be able to find information on. And it has a section on Photo 50 exhibition. There are various sites, Next Level site as well, will have various elements of material on there as well. And ideally come along. We are giving a number of talks and tours that will be part of the outreach program, and we welcome the audience to participate, not only in viewing the exhibition, but the talks that will participate, and the rest of the activity that we produce.
Opportunity to tap into some of this ever-expanding wisdom of yours. Thanks for taking the time and braving the gales to be with us today, Shay Banker.
It's been a pleasure.
My heart aches for some far-off days, no one cut it.
And that's all for this week. My thanks for this week to Shay Bankali. Thanks to Mark Barr and Bernie Barkley. Theme and incidental music was by Songs from the Howling Sea. I'm Anne Quentin Wolfe.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.